But when we keep our focus on God, then we keep our faith high and we keep our confession high. And so, yeah, just walking with God, just having an expectation. Faith is having an expectation that God is at work, even when it doesn't look like he's at work, that God is going to provide for you, even when it doesn't look like he's going to provide for you, that God is making a way, even though there doesn't seem to be no way. Because we know that God is the way maker, right? So he makes a way where there seems no way. Just reminding ourselves of who God is and who we are and how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. Just like a bit earlier on when we were sharing about our loved ones not believing. And for us, it's a serious thing that we get sad because we really want them to be saved and we want them to be born again. But how much more does God want that? Bigger than us. His love is so superior to our love and what we understand and what we can comprehend, So it's really cool that God does have everything covered. He's not stupid, and he'll take care of us as well at the same time. We're just not trusting enough at times. And it's just learning and practicing. And like it says in Romans 12, 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the first thing is like, be not conformed to this world's ways, how it operates, how it thinks, how it speaks, how it reacts, how it responds. Don't be conformed to this world's way, but be transformed, change. So you need to have something to change with. If I haven't got a change of clothes, I will stay in the same old clothes. But if I got a change of clothes, I can take these garments off and put the new ones on, right? So, be transformed by the renewing, change of the thinking of the mind. For the purpose of, there's a reason why we're doing it, that we can prove to who? To God? To our next door neighbor? No, first and foremost, we prove to ourselves what is that good? And what is that acceptable? And what is that perfect will of God? We're proving it to ourselves first. Now, when we prove it to ourselves, then we'll have conviction, strength, clarity of thinking to prove it to others. Like I done a sharing today, I sent it out not to everyone. If you want it, you can ask me for it. It's seeing how God sees things. It's about vision, focus, desires, and I sent it out just to a handful of people and got some good feedback from it. And I could put it up, and I haven't put it up yet. But if you want it, just message me and I'll send you the audio sharing. It's about 30 minutes, and I done that today because God was just working different things in my heart, And God wants us to have great faith and great expectation. And, he wants us to use our imagination, our minds. And God will fill up our minds with the heavenly words, which is where our imagination is. And that's where faith is. And it's like Einstein. Not that I know too much about him, but I do know one thing that he said was that the imagination is like his preview of coming attractions. Is a preview of coming attractions. Your imagination is the preview of coming attractions. So when we know there's a film coming out onto the world, onto the world, it might be Bad Boys 3, for an example. They show you a preview of the film, how it's going to be. So our imagination is the preview to how we can live our life and how we can be and what we can have. God's already given us that. He builds our imagination with his words. Words paint pictures, and God is always building up our vision with good things, Like we read in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, right? And then it goes on to say, what sort of things are lovely, what sort of things are true, what sort of things are honest, and all these things. He says, think on these things. So God is getting our mental perception and image built up with faith of good things. Right? So if you close your eyes now, and I'm going to say these words, tell me what, or tell yourself what you see, right? Just be relaxed. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, right? God is saying, by his man, I want you to prosper and be in health. What does that mean to you? What do you see in your mind? See, what you see in your heart and you see in your mind, you're holding your hand. That's what will happen. Faith. What you believe here and what you say from here will manifest out here. So you've got to live it in you before you see these things. That's what faith is. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this problem or this situation, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall believe in his heart and doubt not, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So what are we saying? What are we seeing? What do we believe when we speak? Are we just speaking with no real faith behind it? Are we just sounding? Or have we got some faith behind our words? Faith-filled words. Faith-filled words come from having that word abundant in your heart and speaking them forth. Like we've been doing the I am, people have called them I am confessions, because I've done a video with I am confessions. I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am successful, I am this, I am that, right? But it's not just I am confessions, it's saying what God says. You know, when you wake up, has anyone ever woken up in the morning and felt lonely and lost? And you just had a great fellowship the night before. And you're thinking, what's all that about? I had a great fellowship last night. And why do I feel like I'm on my own? Why do I feel like, and it's just really weird, because it's the carnal, right? It's the carnal side of us. So we have to bring our minds subject to the word of God within us, right? So that, you know, our bodies should be subject to our minds, and our minds should be subject to the Spirit of God and the words. So we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? He's up in heaven, right? He's at the right hand side of God. How do you put him on? It's his words. That's what we put on. Put ye on, therefore put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on in the words in your mind, how he lived, how he was, what he spoke, what he said, the commandments that he gave, the things that he encouraged, the way that he was. You know, you can get a picture of Jesus Christ in your mind, of the real Jesus, of how he walked, how he lived, his heart, his personalities. You can get a feel for his emotions and his love and his compassion and his strength just by reading the Gospels and saying, God, show me Jesus, how he was when he walked the earth. You know, we are as he is, but as he walked the earth, you know, his interaction with people, his love for the Father and his love for the people, and how he looked to encourage, how he edified people, how he reproved people, how he rebuked people, how he dealt with religious people, how he dealt with the sinner. How did he deal with people? What was he like? You can get a good flavor of how Jesus walked and how he taught. And that's in you. You can manifest all these great qualities in you, because as he is, so are you in this world. And so we don't want to be conformed to this world's way. We don't want to keep getting dragged off to the left, to the right, because of our feelings, because of our emotions, because someone didn't say something we wanted them to say, or they hurt us with the words that they said. Are you going to walk around being offended all the time? Because if we're walking in the carnal, we will get offended at people's words. But if we're walking by the Spirit, we won't be offended. And offense is a big thing, and it causes people's love to grow cold, especially if it's not put right, you know. And that was one of the things that Jesus said in the last days, because of iniquity, the love of many will wax cold. And that word iniquity is sin, missing the mark, right? Living lawlessly, living unto this world. And he said, you know, because of that, the love of many will wax cold. He wasn't talking about people in the world. He was talking about believers. This word love is the word agape, which refers to the love of God. He was saying the love of the believer will wax cold because of iniquity or because of offense. That word iniquity could also be because of offense. And so people do go to the left and to the right, because they get offended, they get wounded. I call them, like, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'll say it anyway, because What you see is what you get with me. I call them woke people. They're woke. You know, you can't say what needs to be said because they get offended. You know, it's like a believer saying that homosexuality and lesbian being a lesbian is wrong. I could get told off over here like that for saying that, you know, but I'll say it anyway because it's true. According to my Bible and according to my God. But that doesn't mean to say that God doesn't love homos and he doesn't love lesbians. You know, he's not going to say, come on in, party on down now, is he? He's going to say, repent. You know, this is not good. What you do is not good. Yeah, challenge it. You know, he loves people. God loves homosexuals and he loves lesbians. He just don't like what they do because of what it brings in on the spiritual side of things of life. And it brings down society. But there's nothing wrong with the person. He loves the person. That goes for anyone that does wrong. Murderers. He loves them because people can change. Why does God love them? Because he knows there's spirits. There's spirits that affect the mind. And with people being given the wrong words, the wrong doctrine, the wrong example, it causes them to go that way, right? So it causes them to walk in darkness rather than walk in light. That's why we've got the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is the good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that people can be saved, that they can turn their life around, that they can repent, they can change. Repent certainly means just turn your life around. Stop going the way you're going and come the way of God, the way of life, the way of truth. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So follow my life. You know, believe on me that God has sent me. You'll be saved. Believe on my name. You'll be saved. Confess me with your mouth. You'll be saved. Believe in your heart that I've been raised from the dead. You'll be saved. So God loves all man. And wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. Why? Because people are sitting in darkness because they believe in the lies of the world. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to be a lesbian. It's okay to, be woke. You know, all these things. You know, people get offended by me saying these things. If you put this on the television now, I'd be shot at left, right, and center. But I don't care because I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth of these things. I lie not on these things. And so we need to be bold, and we can be bold and use wisdom at the right time. It's like I wouldn't say this maybe with lots of new people we didn't know. I would walk with the wisdom of God unless God told me to say those things. See what I'm saying? So we can have a knowledge of these things, and then we walk with the love of God, and we walk with wisdom in these things. But we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed. Once we know the truth, then we're to put on that truth, practice that truth till it becomes a part of us. We've practiced the world long enough and we've become a part of that on how they speak, how they react, and their points of views. But now we want God's point of view. We want God's truth on the situation. You know, God says in Isaiah 26:3, I mentioned this earlier on in my sharing that I'd done, which I can send you the sharing if you want it. It says, Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And this word mind is yatzah. Now, the mind is what we're renewing, right? So this word mind is yatzah, and it means imagination. It also means a frame. And so what do you put in a frame? You put a picture in a frame. So words build pictures, and that's where our imagination is built. And I've mentioned these things before, the Tower of Babel. The people were all with all one tongue. And they all come in agreement that they were going to build this tower going all the way up to heaven, right? And God come down and looked to see how they were getting on. And he says, nothing's going to stop them because of the imagination of their heart. And their hearts were wicked, by the way. He also mentioned that the imagination of their hearts were wicked. I've always missed that part out, but not this time, right? So he said, nothing's going to stop them. Nothing's going to stop them from accomplishing what they've set their mind to do because they've got it in their mind and they're agreeing it with their mouths and they're going to accomplish it. So then what happened? Their languages got divided up so they couldn't understand each other and everyone went their way so they couldn't complete what they began. So what does that tell us? Our words and what we think are very powerful. See, your negative thinking is very powerful. What you think in here and say out here will come to pass. Oh, I feel bad. I got debt again. I'm not going to get out of this trouble. And you repeat these things, that's what you'll get. Now, we all face challenges in life. And there's all things that we like and we don't like. But we're not to say what we see with our physical eyes and what we're feeling in our hearts, right? We're saying, we want to say what God says about the situation. So we go to God and we ask him to direct us. We ask him to show us, like he can bring his word to your mind of what you should be thinking and saying, right? Or you can go to the scriptures if you've got a Bible. And if you know the scriptures, but really God can bring to you what you need in your moment, right? So when you're, see, the emotions are very strong. And you've got to learn to bring those emotions subject to the obedience of Christ. In other words, the emotions are strong and you may think that they're stronger than the truth of God's word and you put in your mind to it because of the feeling of it, right? But God says you bring it into subjection. You get hold of it and say, hey, no, feeling, you're coming into what I am free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's no fear in me. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. There's no anxiety because I got nothing to be anxious about because my God supplies all my needs. You overcome these negative thoughts and emotions and feelings by saying the truth of who you are in Christ. This is why practicing your confessions of what God says about you is really good. You know, when I'm feeling like, oh, you know, God doesn't want me to be prosperous. No, I don't think like that. I used to think like that. I, you know, God doesn't really want me prosperous. Why didn't he make me prosperous then? Right? But I didn't realize there's things I needed to do. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, referring to believers. He's not referring to the world. He's referring to believers. The book was written for the believers, right? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Superior in quality and quantity, when you look at those words, those Greek words. God wants us to live the high life in all honesty and godliness, that we have things, but things don't have us. Right? So he wants us to be blessed, to be a blessing. Lots of people can have money, and they may be prosperous on the world, but they're tight. They could be tight. They won't give, they won't share, they won't do any good with it. That's not rich. Rich is rich in the heart. And then when you've been blessed with the material things, then you're rich and you're wise with the things that God has given you. People will become prosperous when they are stewards. We need to learn to steward what God gives us. Even unbelievers steward. We need to learn to steward our thoughts, our minds, and our emotions and our reactions to things. And then we start to see a bigger response and blessings and freedom in our thoughts, mind, and emotions, in our finances, in our relationship with other people. We start to be kind to ourselves, you know, because we give ourselves such a hard time as individuals. And when you're giving yourself a hard time, it's because you're walking in the carnal, you're thinking from the carnal. You may not think you are, but you are, because the emotions have overtaken you and you don't realize they have. You know, it says, casting down imaginations. Here we go. There's that imagination which starts in the mind. And every high thing or thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. All the things I just mentioned, that's what exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? It says, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So thought by thought, you can change your thinking. Thought by thought, you can replace it with what God says. Now, you're not earning your salvation because you're already born again. This is, we're talking about the renewed mind. We're talking about being transformed. You control your thinking. When you get offended, it's because you're not controlling your thinking, because you shouldn't get offended. Now you're born again of the Spirit of God. We shouldn't let the bullets of the world, the bullet of the world, when someone shoots their words at you, affect you. You should be like the Matrix. You should be dodging those words, right? They don't touch you. They bounce off you. You're catching them. Right? Because we're not in the matrix. We've broken out of the matrix and we started to realize, oh, God's really armed us really well. And I'm to put on all the armor, all the resources that he's made available. And that's his words. And I'm giving you these words right now. So you can bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's up to you. Decide from tonight that you're going to start bringing all your emotions into captivity rather than letting your emotions bring you into captivity. Decide that you are going to squash your fear because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. So where the hell did it come from? Hell, send it back with a, not known at this address. Send it back. Send the accusations back, the ones that you accuse yourself every morning. That voice that's accusing you is not your voice. It sounds like your voice, but it's the devil's voice, right? You send it back. I am lovely. I am beautiful. I am handsome. I am healthy. I am strong. I am whole. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. When I walk, devils flee because the fire of the Lord is burning within me. When any darkness comes near me, they run away because they're being incinerated because I'm hot and I'm on fire for God. Devils don't want to mess with me. Not because of me, but because of who lives within me and who's energized in me. Because the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm not living it by the faith of Lawrence. I'm living it by the faith of the Son of God. Let me read you that scripture because it's a damn great scripture. Not a damn great scripture. It's a really great scripture. There you go. We put it that way. And I love this verse of scripture. I haven't read it for ages, but I will now, once I find my Bible app amongst all these different apps I've got on my phone. Where is it? Here we go. There it is. And this is just a great, great truth. Galatians chapter 2, and it says, verse 19, for I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. Verse 20, I am, here we go, is a nice confession for you. I am, I am, I am. Get that I am going, baby, not am I. I was having a great one-on-one with Becky, and she was saying about am I this, am I that? Remember, Bex? And I just wrote it down. And then God just showed me, now change it around to I am. So we want to get rid of the am I, which will introduce doubts, worries, and fears, and bring in that I am, right? This is what we were sharing, me and Becky. So I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, this is what Paul was saying, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Paul's alive, but not as Paul. He's allowing Christ to live his life through Paul. So it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. So what's manifesting from me is Christ in me, not me. And that can only happen when we renew our minds, when we put our minds to who God says we are. It's not that I got to work at renewing my mind. I just put the truth of the word in and walk with that. And then I start confessing that way. And then the change begins. There's no effort to renewing your mind. It's just a decision that I'm going to start saying what God says. I'm going to start speaking what God says. Now, I might make mistakes. I might slip up, but you get back on it. If you fall off your bike, what do? You pick it back up and you get on it and you start riding it again. A lot of people fall off their bike and stay sat on the bench because they're too scared to get back on it. We want to get on our bike and ride, right? And then it goes on to say, so Paul was saying that now I live the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I let Christ live his life through me. And he's saying, I do not frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God is that God does the work. So when we're living like a carnal Christian and doing things carnally, and with works, we're frustrating the grace of God because grace is that God does the work. And Paul's saying, I don't frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Righteousness doesn't come by us doing anything. That's what he's saying. There's nothing that you can do to be made righteous before God. Jesus Christ done it for you. So that puts us all on an equal par. And you can go as far with God as you want to go with God. How far do you want to go with God? You can be the best leader in the world if you want to. Just choose and say, yeah, I do. God, you take me on the journey. And you'll make many mistakes, believe me, because that's the only way you're going to grow. And, you know, because we all do. I've made so many, but I've grown by them. I haven't stopped. I've said many wrong things, but I haven't stopped. I acknowledge, put it right, and move on. That's all we have to do. So it doesn't matter what anyone says about me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I will accomplish everything God has set out for me to accomplish, because God always causes me to triumph. I can live from the right-hand side of God, right? I'm on fire, baby. Like devil spirits, they burn when they come near me. They screech. People avoid me. They do. Even believers avoid me because I am walking by the Spirit. And those believers are carnal believers because they're not, they know the word, but they don't live it. They don't do it. If you want to be hot, you got to live this thing. You got to be doing the things, not because you're trying to get saved, because you're already saved, but because you want to manifest the power of God. You want to manifest the blessings of God, right? That's why you do it. That's the works that we do. We do righteous things. No, like honoring God, it says God will multiply your seed sown and he'll increase the fruits of your righteousness. From the right acts that you do, God will bless, there'll be great fruit from it. And he'll increase the fruits of that righteousness. Wow, what a great promise. This honoring God is bigger than you think. Not just about money. God says he'll multiply that seed sown and he'll increase the fruits of your righteousness. Here calls all grace, that grace that Paul didn't frustrate, to abound towards you. And here calls you to abound to every good work. Healing the sick, raising the dead, opening up blind eyes, casting out devils, healing AIDS, restoring limbs, restoring marriages, restoring relationships, restoring people back to God. That's what we should be doing as the church and as the body of Christ. That should be our desire. That should be our vision. That should be our goal. And if you've got a fellowship, which I know a lot of you have now, which is great, keep doing it. Believe God to fill them. Say, God, I'll do exactly what you tell me to do. I'll follow this encouragement. I'll do this. I'll speak thy word. Sandgate said to me before I come back from here, Lawrence, just make up your mind to speak thy word. In other words, he was on about speaking what God says. You don't need to go to the Bible to speak what God says. You let the Spirit of God work within you. He said, when someone gets born again over here, straight away we tell them to speak by the Spirit. They don't even have Bibles. They speak by the Spirit and they move in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power, not with man's wisdom, not to deceive people, not to make themselves like a philosopher, like the Greeks, right? But they move by the Spirit of God. God qualifies your call, guys. You don't have to be a Waycor person. I think the worst thing happened was Waycor, to be quite honest with you. There's some good people in it, mind you, good hearts. But it just stifled people. It made them administration people. Very good with getting things organized, but not moving God and not moving people's hearts to God, but to themselves. So we want to be pure. We want to be led by the Spirit of God. And we want to see God's results in the earth. We do want to do the right thing. We want to do the right thing. And we're moving with God and the right things will start to happen. And how do you know? Look at the fruit. Just look at the fruit. The people that have connected to me in the last 5 years, their life's changed. I know they have. And there's no one that can deny it. They're still around. They've been connected for 5 years. And it's not because of me. Praise God, it's not. But it's because I've made a stand to teach the right thing. To be bold to declare the truth, to be led by the Spirit of God, to speak by the Spirit of God, and to encourage people to do the right things, which is speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, honor God with your substance, right? Connect, pray for laborers. These are foundational things that will keep you hot. And there's no need for us to keep getting our ass kicked every week or every day. We should be walking in great joy and happiness. Every day we got the Spirit of God. We got eternal life. We know we got it. So why do we walk around sad? That we're never satisfied, isn't it? You know, I'm happy every day. And obviously things could be a lot better for me in certain areas, but I'm happy every day. I wake up every day. Thank you, God, for another day. Give me your before ordained works. Let me do thy work. I'll speak thy word. I'll speak the right thing. I'll encourage people. Give me what to do. Get the people to connect. Let them be faithful. Give me faithful people, God, that are going to stay connected and run with the ball and not just do their own thing, but are going to move with you and move with us and to be fellow workers and laborers together with us. And they're going to speak the truth and not get carried away with every wind of doctrine. You know, especially like this end time stuff right now that's going on. At the end of the day, if you think you're going to get the mark of the beast, you're wrong. That doesn't come in until halfway through the tribulation, right? The true peace treaty that the Antichrist will make starts after we're gathered out of it. When he makes the peace treaty, that's when the tribulation starts, right? We'll be gone before then. So you're not going to know who the Antichrist is. Well, you might do once we're gathered, but you're not going to know it on the earth. So you can forget guessing. So these are just simple truths, right? Now, people probably want to debate all that, but you've got the pre-tribulation, you've got the mid-tribulation, you've got the post-tribulation. But all you've got to do is go to simple scriptures, let God show you. I'm not very clever with all these things, but I know those things. And at the end of the day, keep it simple. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, you've got to have a heart of a child. A heart of a child isn't complicated. A heart of a child is innocent. A heart of a child is humble. A heart of a child is ready to receive. A heart of a child is ready to do and to please. And that's what we need to be towards God. At the end of the day, I just know that God's going to do great things with anyone that's listening to what I'm saying. They're going to do great things with God. And if you practice it, you're going to do great things with God. Just got to let go of some of the old habits, the old things that hold you back. These emotional things, you've got to let go of them. You've got to ask God to help you overcome them because you can. You've been set free. You've been set free. Do you understand that? You are set free. The prison doors are open. You may be sat in the prison cell, but the doors are open. You're free to go. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Walk in freedom. Walk in power. Walk in light. Walk in love. Walk with your eyes open. Speak the truth in love. Preach the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Let people know healing's available. Let people know deliverance is available. Don't sit back and get cozy because you know a lot of knowledge, right? God don't buy that. Jesus never done that. He was up every day moving with the Father, doing what God put in his heart to do. And then obviously there's other things that other people do have to do, mums, dads, and people working and stuff like that. But do what you got to do, but then do what God wants you to do as well, because God wants you there. I'm going to do a sharing on the pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and the post-tribulation, and answer some of those questions that get people thinking that they're going to go through the tribulation and that they're going to take the mark of the beast, even though everything might seem like it's set up. And I'm going to do them, and it's only going to go to people that ask for the audios, and that's it. Because if you're hungry, like I shared last week, your pursuit, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And then I know whether to waste my time or not, because if no one's going to really pursue after it, then I ain't going to do it. There's no point. You've got to be hungry, guys. You've got to be hungry. What are you doing? What are you doing? Wake up. Like this, God's just working this in my heart to say tonight, there's something there for somebody or a few people. Don't keep everything to yourself. Be a blessing. Do what you're supposed to do, because God wants to bless you. He's got great and mighty things for you. Your breakthrough's there. This is why you might be finding it tough, some of you. Because right on the other side of what you're going through is your blessing. And you've got to keep moving forward. You've got to keep trusting God. The just shall live by faith, not by what they see, hear, smell, taste, or touch, who they know and who they don't know. Now, I'm here because God put me here, not because my leader put me here. I'm here because God put me here. You're there because God put you there, not because I put you there. Or I may have promoted you or mentioned you. God put you there. You've got to have a relationship with God. Him first. He's with you. Be really strong in your relationship with God. No minister should come in between that. Like God first. And then humbly, when God shows you to connect, that's what you do. That's what I do. And I love my leader. My leader's an amazing man of God. I wouldn't have a bad word said about him. You know what I mean? But I'm there. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And then whatever he encouraged me to do, God's already talking, just do what he tells you to do. Very simple instruction, isn't it? You know, honor God with your substance. If you want to prosper, stop being stingy. Stop holding back. Some of you are holding back, and some of you don't even give. You want to start giving if you want to start prospering, not just on your finances, but in your relationship and walk with God. You want to start seeing signs, miracles, and wonders? Well, that will help you because it increases the fruits of your righteousness, not just your bank account. God wants you blessed on every level. Stop being stingy because that's why you're not getting anything. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. That's righteousness. And you're free to do it. I'm just encouraging it. Don't think I'm having a go at you or anything. I'm just saying what God's putting in my heart. And I don't care what people say about it. I care what my God says. And I do care about people. And I know what I'm saying is good. And I know that you will benefit and you will prosper greatly, but it's up to you. And I'm not even going to chase you on anything because it's not up to me to do that. That's up to God. That's between you and God. But we got to be straight and transparent with people. If you're going to be a leader, you got to be straight with your people. You got to let people know where the things are. Yeah, we can all be nicey. Oh, yeah, God bless you. This is grace and everything's wonderful. But you got to say the right things too. You got to give a pep talk sometimes, you know? You've got to be on the best team. You want to be on the winning team. And it's not compromising with doctrine and how much knowledge you bloody got, because it don't cut the ice with God. It's the heart, baby. And it's letting God work in you by the Spirit. That's what it's all about. And a little bit of knowledge does help, by the way. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying anything else other than that. But let God energize you. Walk by the Spirit. Start being bold. Start speaking what you want. Start saying what you want. Start healing. Start ministering. Look for open doors to minister. Ask God to open doors for you to minister his power. Ask God for boldness to speak. I never used to speak like this, guys. I think even Becky will tell you that going back years ago, I would just go from the Bible. So well, I never speak in the manner I'm speaking now. This is from God. God gives you the holy boldness. So all praise to my God.